dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello and welcome in to episode 163 of SBC Sports Talk. I'm indeed Bruce Knox, the third of the aforementioned hosts. And with me I have Shane Combs and Derek Webb. I'll get to them in just a second. But again, we'd like to thank our billboard sponsor, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Remember, you can find them on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in dear old Chillicothe, Ohio, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. They are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and they feature Cardo's Pizza, parties, and events. You can book there. Sports, arcade, the super inflatable land, and of course, inflatable rentals. You can also get a hold of them, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. And now I'd like to introduce the two other sports nerds located straight across the table from me here in the Sports Zone, or the SBC Sports Talk studio. They are indeed Mr. Shane Combs. How are you, Shane?
Doing great, Bruce. How about you?
I am doing wonderful. And Mr. Derek Webb, how are you tonight?
Good, good. Happy to be here. How about you, Bruce?
I am thrilled to be here beyond words because I have the two biggest sports nerds in southeastern Ohio right across from me, and I enjoy listening to them talk and dissect and do all kinds of things, pontificate and everything. It's great stuff. But I want to first kind of, let's go by way of review maybe a little bit. Shane, I wanted to get your ideas on our Thursday night call of the Adina Unioto volleyball game. It was a dandy.
Well, it was. Derek, anytime Bruce starts making me get out the dictionary at the source, he starts making me nervous. But no, Bruce, you're right. It Thursday night. And first, Bruce, I just wanted to say here to you with our audience listening, thank you so much for your efforts the other night. We had a little hiccup technology-wise at the beginning, and as always, behind the scenes, if it's not even for me mentioning it, the fans don't even know. The fans hear the quality of the game the other night, and a lot of those compliments need to be going to you. So obviously, I know I speak for Derek when I mm-hmm. say thank you for your efforts. So as far as the Thursday night, yeah, you know, one of my favorites, I would probably even say my favorite experience of the website over the last 6, 7, 8 years, however long I've been doing this, is the opportunity to do the live games. I just think it's a really cool thing. Obviously, growing up, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher, coach. The communication, the writing, the journalism, but really a lot of the sports talk and the different opportunities to do that's always kind of been a secondary thing I really wish I would have gotten more into. And the more I get an opportunity to do that, boy, do I really enjoy it. And so you combine that with the good volleyball that we were able to be a part of. Really, the match was probably, Derek, I think fair to say, probably as good as we've seen here in recent years in the SVC. Just really a pleasure to be a part of it. And, you know, Derek, we'll talk stats here in a minute. First, let me just ask you, as I welcome you to the show, just the opportunity to be a part of it. Just your thoughts on just the atmosphere and the excitement in the gym the other night and our small role that we had an opportunity to be a part of it.
Well, you know, heading into the game, and as I told you kind of before we went on the air, I was a little nervous going in because I had never done anything like that. So I was hoping that you would do play-by-play. And as soon as you used my mind, I was like, okay, I can just sit back, relax, and just kind of watch, you know, as we said on Thursday night, two kind of titans going at it. But yeah, the atmosphere was great. The gym, I think we got both of us received a Twitter mention from, I believe, Todd Neff. And he kind of showed the picture of the gym, and I mean there wasn't an empty seat in the house. So and I mean in that fifth set, and as we talked about again on air, you know, every point everybody was screaming, and it doesn't matter who was scoring, everybody was screaming, or it just sort of emotional roller coaster for fans and parents and players, I'm sure. And I can't wait to have that opportunity to do it again you know, whatever sport it may be.
And a lot of that kind of comes to a point that we've talked about before and some conversations I'm already having, and I'm sure I'll continue to have here in the next week. A lot of people asking what it's going to take to get us to come to their gym, do certain things. And we've talked a lot about the technology that's needed. So, fans, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, I realize it was a long night of volleyball. It's commercial free. If you get an opportunity, it's still, I'm going to leave it up on the homepage going into the work week here, probably through Tuesday night's action, and then we'll start to move it down. But, you know, it was an exciting thing. Adina jumped out 1-0. Then I thought the turning point, Derek, was in the match was in the second set when Adina had a chance to bury Uniota, and Uniota just kept fighting and clawing their way back in that second set. And I thought if Adina could have went up 2-0, and I think you even mentioned this late in that set on the air, that would have probably ended up doing the Lady Sherman's in. But Uniota's ability to fight and claw back in that second set, they take it 27-25. And, you know, at that time, you kind of knew it was anybody's match. And obviously, anytime a match is tied 1-1, the third set becomes very important.
Adina now with the 25-24 advantage.
Would remember both teams out of timeouts now, so we're gonna play.
It's a Uniota free ball. Here's a swing for the set. Polar into the middle, diving effort from Pinkerton again. Uniota plays on. Free ball over. Let's see if Adina can finish it here. Polar out of the middle. Finds the hole on the left side off of the Eberts, a dig attempt. Give Polar the kill.
Well, at that point, Adina's up 2-1, guys, and it, again, it looked like it was Adina's match to kind of take control of. But, you know, Derek and Bruce, this is kind of where you started to, I don't know, you felt like you were watching something real, real special. Just as that fourth set started to get underway on the court, in the stands, even in the booth, you could really tell the intensity started to pick up at the end of the fourth set.
Fight here at the end of the fourth set.
Looks like Taylor Postage.
Yeah, Postage has been coming in and serving out of that spot a little bit, doing a nice job. They've had some success in this rotation. Taylor Postage, a 5-1 senior. She serves it deep, and Pinkerton with a nice pass up to Eberts. It's McGlone out of the middle, and she hammers it. 25-18, Uniota, and Derek, sure enough, just like out at Huntington tonight, we here in Frankfurt, we're off to a fifth set.
I tell you what,
where else would you rather be?
What is this, free volleyball? Is that what they call it? What a match, what a set.
Well, Derek, if there is such a thing, obviously we don't consider it overtime in volleyball, but you're right, that fifth set kind of does give you a overtime feel of basketball. It's that sprint to 15. Before we take a look at that final set, just your thoughts on the intensity of the match there at 2-2. As we were getting ready for that fifth set, it seemed like the numbers on the website there that Bruce was giving to me started to pick up. You could sense it in the gym. I know your Twitter and your texting was starting to blow up. Just some of your feelings there as we were tied 2-2 getting ready to go into that final set.
I think I was just as nervous as the players on the court, you know, as just watching the game. And it was seriously, as we talked about, neither team had a bigger lead than 7 points. And that was a 25-18 win there in the fourth for Uniota. And, you know, you just kind of you knew that it was going to be a back and forth and back and forth match in the fifth. And then, of course, at 16-14, that's exactly what we got. So, you know, and I told you after it had ended and stuff, it was hot. It was getting hot up there and in the booth, and I was sweating. And I don't know if that was just because it was hot or because I was nervous. But,
probably a little bit of both.
It was just kind of a mix between excitement and nervous probableness. And, you know, I mean, whatever happened before that fifth set, we knew that it was going to go just like the first four had gone, which I was pretty excited about that.
Well, it really was. It was kind of a gut check time. And I'll tell you, fans, after 2 hours of volleyball from our top two teams, here's how the match point for the Lady Sherman sounded.
Short serve, Carroll with a pass. It's Polar, swings on the outside. Eberts on the dig. Fisher steps in and helps her. Set her in the outside kill from Abby Weingartner. And Uniota, 16. Adina, 14. As Uniota wins it in five.
I'll tell you what, that is a big, big, I don't know if I can say it enough, big win for Uniota.
Well, Derek, that was really well said there at the end because it really was. I mean, there's no other way to put it. To be this early in the year or not, to go on the road, you get that one. Let's just take a look at the stats for a second. I know both of us enjoy our stats because, you know, it's obviously part of our job. We have to collect them and try to give some informative information out there to our fans on the match. They're all over the place here. Obviously, Putnam was incredible. We had school records and career highs on both sides. Just some of your take here on the stat lines that came from that instant classic Thursday night.
Well, I mean, I can just, you know, going through stats every single night, and that's, you know, in every sport, really. I don't think I've ever seen, you know, that many numbers in one stat line for both teams, really. You had Holly Pinkerton with the school record 42 digs. And then you think, okay, well, nobody else is in the 30s then, right? Because it's just Holly and 40. You had Maddie Ebers, you had Abby Weingartner, then, you know, you go over to Adina's side, you have Devin Putnam, who had 36 kills, by the way.
She was phenomenal.
Yeah, and then you have Carly Carroll, Hannah Stark, who was also phenomenal. We talked about that freshman coming in. So, you know, we got numbers from kids that you probably wouldn't have guessed or put money to bet on they would have those numbers, and that's really what, you know, provided that you know, what I called an instant classic.
Well, you talked about Hannah Stark. Unless I missed something early in the year with what Coach Smith and Coach Atchison was doing with Hannah Stark, when the Bostard injury comes about, I think she's basically on the JV team over the weekend. And then like 5 days later, you're like, oh, here's Uniota's frontline attack. Dig these up. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. And she did. She stepped right in, and it was that next player up mentality. And, you know, you mentioned the digs and the passing. It was not only a five-set match, which already is going to give you higher numbers in terms of your totals because you're playing longer, obviously. Mm-hmm. It was the length of each rally. You heard me calling a lot of free ball back and forth, and sometimes you would think that leads to ugly volleyball. But it really wasn't. It was a result of great effort. It was a result of so many other matches throughout the year, when a Putnam sends a rocket or a Weingartner sends a rocket, it just wouldn't come back. Where in this particular match, they were digging it up, finding a way to get it back over. I thought Adina did a great job of attacking Eberts defensively. Her 36 digs tell you that it was forcing other people to take the second ball for Uniota. So a lot of times that had them out of rhythm a little bit. So just great coaching, great schemes, great stat lines. Those are still on our Good Health Chiropractic Center SBC Volleyball Scoreboard. You want to check those out. The last stat that, and I don't have this in front of me, but I think Adina only had three aces. And I believe they served, Derek, 103 times. And so that tells you the serve receive for Uniota from last year to this year is night and day different. Now, that doesn't mean, keep in mind, everyone's a little different on that stat. The serve receive simply means there was no error. Now, that doesn't mean there was a perfect pass to Maddie Eberts every time, okay? But it does mean that the Uniota passers were keeping the ball off the floor, and they were forcing Adina to take on the Uniota attack. So I thought that was a stat that jumped out at me, that if Uniota gets that type of back row play, they're going to be really tough to beat. So I guess the last thing, Derek, before we go on, we need to mention – you look at Kelsey Bossert out of the lineup for Adina. Obviously, Devin Putnam more than stepped up. Chris Apoler did the same. Now, Chris Apoler went through a little illness following the match, and she did not play over the weekend where they split up at Fairfield Union. So hopefully she's okay there as well. But obviously, Adina going through a little adversity here. But any doubt in your mind, I assume not, when I ask you think Adina's going to just bounce back and still be a major, major factor the rest of the way?
You know, there's still, an obvious force to be reckoned with, but again, like we said the other night, to me now, after that win, and that's why I said it was so big, Uniota's in the driver's seat for the SVC. They've got their work cut out for them, obviously. We're four games into the conference season. But I do think that still, it's a two-horse race between Uniota and Adina. Uniota seems to get knocked off in a game against a Huntington or a Southeastern or even a Piketon, who Coach Reidenauer said that, you know, they played them well last year. Adina will have that kind of door to be open. But for right now, Uniota, just if they take care of business, I mean, they, like I said, they've got smooth sailing.
Well, fans, again, that's up on the website. I'll try to keep it there on the homepage for that link through Tuesday, as well as the volleyball page. You can also go to the final 10, 15 minutes of the link there and hear Coach Ridenour's post-game comments. So, Bruce, appreciate you, again, your time that night. Appreciate you putting those clips for us here together for the show. I know we have a great show ahead, so I'll let you go ahead and move on down the agenda here if you'd like.
Well, guys, we had some good feedback on a variety of things, but up next, I want to start with an email where you guys talk about the confidence you have in predicting the SVC from week to week. Well, we are back on episode 163 of SBCSportsZone.com's Sports Talk, and I want to have a look at the inbox here, which is admin1 at SBCSportsZone, and it's brought to you by CNK Athletic Equipment. That's CNK Athletic Screen Printing and Embroidery. You can find them at 116 East High Street in Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. They're open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And you can give them a call for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. Guys, mentioned earlier, we want to get into the email here, and we've got this one. It says, Shane and Derek, enjoy the different shows and coverage that you give the SVC. You know, you guys do a lot of predictions. Can you recall a year where football was this hard to predict? Going into the first week, I cannot pick one single game where I'm 100% confident of picking a winner. Football has never been like this. Usually the gap from 1 to 8 is huge, as Donald Trump would say. This year, not so much. Derek, how do you respond to this listener?
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely agree. You know, me and Shane have pick games in the Gazette each week and kind of have a going contest with that. And, you know, I was thinking about the same thing coming up this week. Instead of doing 9 area games, we're going to have, you know, well, with Chillicothe thrown in there, we'll have 5 area games. And other than Chillicothe, because they go to East Clinton, I don't really know who to pick in the SVC. I mean, you've got Uniota Zane Trace, you've got Pay Valley Huntington, Southeastern Piketon, and then Westfall and Adina. I mean, you know, when you go to in each of those matchups, I could honestly see either team winning that matchup. So I thought usually what happens is, you know, you get past the first 3 weeks in those picks, and then it's like, okay, well, it gets a lot easier from here, because, you know, like last year, Zane Trace was really kind of just plowing through their opponents. So if you pick Zane Trace, you kind of know, okay, well, I got at least one right this week. This week it's kind of like I think it just got harder. So yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I'm right with that.
Shane,
you know, guys, I think the entire fall has always been very predictable, and this year has been kind of unique, which is a good thing. You know, obviously we've had the Uniota golf for so long, and you have Piketon golf. The Bossert injury and at Adina there in volleyball kind of shakes up that league race a little bit. Now it looks like we're in for a fun time, and really in volleyball, Southeastern Piketon. They've really closed the gap, obviously, on Westfall, even a little bit on Huntington. So that's a little bit more competitive. You know, Westfall volleyball probably hasn't been in a rebuilding process in almost 20 years. So the football just kind of falls in line, doesn't it, Derek? I mean, if you look at what we graduated a year ago, it seems like maybe the top teams were hit by graduation, yet we still kind of feel like they're the top teams. But what's happened is you've had these younger teams that are now a little bit older coming up off of their rebuilding process, maybe in year 2 or 3. And it's almost like they're all kind of meeting in the middle. And I think here's where I would agree the most. I would think when you look at coin flips, when you look at prediction, you know, and keep in mind with predictions, and I don't know if Derek falls into this as much. I'm sure he does a little bit with an SVC team or Chillicothe or so forth. For me, you know, I have family at a school. I coach at a school. There's a lot of times I'll pick with my heart, maybe instead of my sports brain or whatever. But, you know, picking the winners is difficult, because a lot of times when you go to a coin flip game, take the Zane Trace Logan Elm game in week 1.
Yeah.
That game ends on a Hail Mary. One team catches it, one team wins, drops, the other another team wins. That's obviously a very difficult game to pick. Paint Valley Williamsburg in week two, 43-40. You know, it doesn't really make you wrong or right if you predicted it one way or the other. Same way Southeastern Eastern. I know you just covered that game, Derek. Great game. Chillicothe falls into line with Jackson, Taze Valley. Both opponents, correct, Derek, had field goals in the final seconds to where the games could have went the other way.
Right, and then Taze Valley missed their field goal, and that's the second week in a row Chillicothe's won on this field goal. So
yeah, so I mean, if we pick Chillicothe, does that make us genius compared to Jackson or Taze Valley missing or making a field goal? North Adams Southeastern Soccer we just picked. I did some research there. What a great win for Southeastern. North Adams, good soccer program that beat them a year ago. Congratulations to Lady Panthers. So all of these predictions, I guess my point is, the predictions, by the time you take all of your subjective viewpoints, because we are close to certain situations, and then start to analyze, I guess that's what's tough. And Derek, I'll ask you some follow-up questions here a little bit. When I look at the matchups or factors that will decide some of these winners, it is extremely difficult. So I don't know that there's a wrong answer here, but is there a particular matchup or a particular part of a matchup that you're really intrigued to see how it plays out Friday night?
Well, I mean, you know, for me, and we just spent this past Wednesday with Huntington, and then they put up 57 points against the Northwest team, and then they go into this week's battle for the Maple Leaf Trophy, if you would, with Paint Valley, and Paint Valley's coming off a loss, Huntington's coming off a win. I don't even know. I know I can't tell you off the top of my head when the last time Huntington beat Paint Valley.
And if there was ever a time. Josh Kello, Justin Kello, that group, I think, won one year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking probably, 10 years ago, and that was the only time in a pretty big stretch before that, I believe.
And there you go. And I mean, I don't think there's ever been kind of more of a more prime time for Huntington to beat Paint Valley. I mean, you know, they put the Huntsmen are putting up 20 or 120 points this year. They're averaging 40 a game. But to me, in that key, they've also given up 104. So to me, in that game, you know, I think it's a defensive that's where the keys lie with Paint Valley's and Huntington's defense. And I mean, I think Shane, you could maybe attest to this as well. But just kind of watching Paint Valley, I think you'd probably have to give the edge to Paint Valley's defense. And you know Paint Valley can score. As you said, they beat Williamsburg 43-40. So I'm really – I mean, we talk about a kind of a league on upside down this year. And if Huntington beats Paint Valley, that's definitely sticking with that trend.
I think in the Huntington-Paint Valley matchup, Huntington has some age and some speed on the outsides that give them some matchups. Their biggest thing there, you mentioned the Paint Valley defense, is going to be protecting McCloskey and giving him time to throw the football. And then on the other side, when you look at the physicality of Wellston and what it did to Huntington, Paint Valley has that experienced offensive line with two big, strong backs that can really run. That'll be interesting. Here's a couple of the other things that jump out at me, Derek. Adina, look at the way they played Wellston compared to Huntington. You could tell the physicality up front didn't bother them as much. They played a much more competitive game, particularly in the trenches, it sounds like. I know you saw Southeastern the other night up close. They're going to get challenged with the Berkheimer kid, the Zane Trace Uniota. I think also don't rule out the kicking game. If we both agree that these four games are going to be pretty competitive, a lot of times the extra points or maybe the ability to kick some field goals could be a difference. Before we move on here, is there one other thing that you think is worthy of discussion? Obviously, you and I will get a chance to break it down this Wednesday when we invite Uniota?
Uniota, huh? Schlegel's Coffee House, yep.
Yeah. So anything else that jumps out at you think worthy of mention here on SVC Sports Talk this week?
Well, you mentioned it kind of earlier. You said, I was at the Southeastern Eastern Pike football game this past Friday, and I tell you what, I had never seen the last time I had seen Southeastern live was when Carson Stouffer was an eighth grader. This year he's a junior, and that kid is just a monster. I mean, he's very, very impressive. He made a great play on an interception that, I mean, probably, you know, most kids, and no offense to most kids, but most kids don't make that play just because of instincts. And I tell you what, he ran the ball. You know, 97 receiving yards. He had 97 rushing yards. He had over 70 receiving yards. Scored a touchdown. I think he had like 16 tackles. I mean, he was everywhere. And so, I mean, really, that kind of really, I mean, then you got to look at Southeastern's record, and 3-0. I mean, have a chance to go 4-0. This is the first 3-0 start for them since 2010. You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, just watching Carson Stover Friday night really popped him into if there was, obviously there's an offensive and a defensive back of the year in football.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it really popped him into that discussion for me. So, I mean, that kid's got a tremendous upside. And then he's still just a junior. So we get to enjoy that for two more years.
Yeah, Bruce, really. I mean, we could sit here and do a much longer segment on this. I mean, when you look at Edler at Uniota, Harris gets his group going at Zane Trace with four touchdown runs the other night. West Faldini, even at 0-3, both of them played really, really tough non-league schedules. So, it's going to be a tough week to predict. I think I'm more intrigued on trying to break down and really finding the factors that I'm looking for. You know, getting a prediction right or wrong, I'm more intrigued to see, am I able to pick out some of the different things that I want to keep an eye on this weekend to see what these teams have moving forward. So, obviously, we'll be talking a lot of football, I'm sure, next week after the opening round of SVC play.
We sure will. Why don't you take us into the Hurry Up offense? It's brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Sure. The Crown Hill Golf Club, you can get a hold of them at 740-986-4653. They usually have some good deals there on thegolfnow.com. We have one up on the website. There's just a lot of different things. They're so good to our golf here locally. And they've kind of become our official sponsor, as we have some really, really good golf coverage on our website. So we thank the Crown Hill Golf Club for all of that. Well, guys, I'll tell you what, let's do something a little different this week to try to spread the love, if you will. Let's go with all sports other than football and volleyball and see if we can't get some of these other programs and athletes a little bit of coverage. So on all these questions, we'll answer leaving out football and volleyball. So as always, we'll have Derek go first. I'll follow up if you're okay with that, Bruce.
I am. Let's go. Considering we are still over a month away from the SVC Championship Cross Country Meet, it is fair to say that it's early in the season. For now, what has been the top cross-country headline?
Well, you know, for me, you know, heading into that SVC Championship cross-country meet, and all season long when it began, Uniota's the team to beat. And I mean, I don't know how anybody could argue that, really, especially with their string of consecutive victories in the SVC and an even string of a consecutive trips to the state meet. You know, this past week, they were just fourth. Both the boys and girls were fourth at the McGowan Invite, which is an elite invite. Sheridan, Keith, and Indian Valley beat the boys, and Sheridan, Athens, and Liberty Union beat the girls. So for me, it's Uniota, and they've got kind of a big three on the boys with Eric Hacker, Tucker Marco, and Isaiah West. And then the girls, they've got Alex Evans, Tessa Sylvester, and we all know about Haley Wright. So I guess if you had to put a headline, it's, you know, to beat the best, you got to beat the best, and Uniota hadn't been beat yet.
Well, you're right. A lot of times early in the year, headline-wise, maybe I would say the calm before the storm, because you're right about Uniota. You mentioned them. Even Abby Mohan as a sophomore is in there. Keep in mind, Uniota boys last year, I believe they had the top five runners, and they have four of them back. So they're in the SVC cross country. Just to spread the wealth a little further, because I agree with you on that, don't forget about the Division III as they split off into their own division. You know, on the boys' side, Adina has a couple freshmen with Emmett Cunningham, the Huntington girls with Josie Tornberg. Even the Westfall girls team was pretty impressive at the Zane Trace invite. So those are some other things to be keeping our eye on in the next month, Bruce.
Our league's newest sport this fall is soccer. What soccer story tops the list that fans should most be recognizing?
Well, in the boys' race, I mean, Zane Trace, Holden Johnson, Darby Pillow have combined for 16 goals and 8 assists this year. And then the Pioneers are 5-1-1. They just beat Lewisburg by a 2-1 score this past Saturday. You know, really, kind of like Uniota in the cross-country race, to me, so far it's been Zane Trace as a team to beat in the soccer race. So, you know, I think I got to go with those two. And those two work really well off each other. If you watch them play, you know they're going to score. At least if St. Trey scores, it's going to be Holden Johnson or Darby Pillow, and more times than not.
Well, I have to go back to what I said earlier. It's more on the girls' side. It's supposed to be our league sport on the boys' side. I guess if you're asking me about soccer, Bruce, I think the girls' headlines have jumped out at me more. I mentioned SC girls being 7-0 with Mitten on the verge of the school record. She had two more the other day. I think that brings her to 19. Mm-hmm. You know, Derek, I would even go to Uniota girls a little bit. Someone asked me a little bit about, is it disappointing? And I said, I don't really know because I can't sense – we joked about this a little bit, but I'm being honest here. Like, I can't sense exactly what a tie means. Like, you know, sure. If you are sitting at 1-1-5, well, how do you – you know, obviously that means that you're competing with some really good teams if you're tying over the course of an entire match. But I think that's another headline that I want to look at a little deeper because – my understanding is that's a pretty talented group of kids there at Uniota that can still make some noise into the postseason.
In golf, the Piketon Red Streaks seem well on their way to a title in 2016. However, the individual leaderboard certainly has several storylines developing. What most stands out to you when checking our Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC Golf Individual Leaderboard?
You know, I mean, for me, obviously, you got your Piketon kids up there, and they're just on a tear right now. But for me, you know, I like to throw in Dina's Trey Postage and Southeastern's Ethan Smith. You know, both of them stand 4-5 in the individual leaderboard, and both have gotten better throughout the season. Postage has shot 42, 41, and 36 in SVC matches, and then Smith's gone 44, 43, and 36. And, of course, we'll throw out, if it would be right now, that 42 and 44. So I'm anxious to see how, you know, those two individuals continue to climb that leaderboard and, you know, kind of catch DJ Graham and Steven Zimmerman, then Uniota's Ty Schoblock.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned the other night at the volleyball match, Derek, that if we were being honest, we probably had over half of the all-league kids in the gym that night. And when we say something like that, that's not a knock on the rest of the league because there's such talented kids with Ricky McGill and Cammie Chandler and Ella Skeens and on down the line. But the problem in golf, or the good thing in golf is those kids you just mentioned get an opportunity to play themselves with their score right into the all-league mix. Mm-hmm. 10 kids, Piketon, 6 Piketon, 4 Uniota right now in the all-league mix. I'm also a little surprised that the scoring is so bad at the bottom. Interesting to see as we move to a River's Edge if some of that scoring can improve. But keep in mind, a Crown Hill JC's Portsmouth Elvisman is going to be very, very difficult.
It's impossible to talk fall dominance without talking about Sylvia Gray. Beyond the Uniota tennis star, give the fans your top fall performer during the first month of fall action.
Speaking of Sylvia Gray, I think we're going to have a feature this week on her, so look out for that. But for me, you mentioned earlier, Shane, it has to be Callie Mitten. 19 goals, 8 this past week in 3 wins. A North Adams team that they beat beat Southeastern 4-0 last year. You know, Callie's, as you said, she's got 60 goals in her career now, 2 off her own school record that she set last year with 22, or 3 off her own school record with 22 last year, and then she had 21 the year before. So, I mean, she just kind of plays with a chip on her shoulder. And after watching her Saturday, I mean, she's on another level, you know, on the soccer pitch, if you would, right now. You know, and something that's really cool to mention about her is, you know, I just wrote an article about Peyton Davis, who broke the county record with 81 career goals and scored her 82nd later that night. But Callie, technically, she's played co-ed and not on a sanctioned girls team her freshman year. So just think at how many, you know, goals she could have if that freshman team would have been a sanctioned girls team.
Yeah, I can't argue with Mitten at all. I think it is impressive on the golf side when you look at what Graham and Zimmerman and Moore and the Piketon kids are doing, and the way Schoblock, as just a freshman, has been able to compete at a high, high level. I guess I would also throw in some of the cross-country kids. Ivy Bean from Zane Trace had a good year. Mert and Cunningham from Adena. So, yeah, I can't argue with Mitten, but there's certainly some kids across all the sports really having a good fall, Bruce.
All right, that is our Hurry Up Offense, brought to you as always by Crown Hill Golf Course. Give them a call. Hey, we always thrive on feedback, and we'd like to get yours. You can provide that feedback several different ways. I'm going to give you a couple of those right now. First, to get a hold of Shane Combs, you can probably best do that via email. at admin1 at svcsportzone.com. He's also on Facebook, where he maintains two different profiles. And you can, of course, follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. Derek, he's a Twitter boy. He can be reached at dweb at Chillicothe Gazette. Well, that's, I'm sorry, that's he is a Twitter boy, but that's his email. Dweb at ChillicotheGazette.com. And Twitter, his handle there, at DW1509. And he is a Twitter boy. He's always constantly on there. I'm just amazed that you get stuff done, Derek. It seems like you're always on there. But very good follow. I will give you
yes,
that.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I appreciate everything he does.
Yeah, you can always leave us a voicemail at DBK Media Services on the listener line, 740-569-3254. That is a automated phone line. You can leave your two bits there, and we will get you on the show. And then I'd like to ask that you can, or I'd like to let you know that you can always subscribe. You can either do so to the podcast through a podcast on iPhones, and you can always find us in the iTunes store as well, where you can subscribe to us. And if you're in there, give us a great rating and a favorable review. Well, we don't have time to get a whole or get every email up tonight or in any episode, but there's a few for more quick responses, and we'd like to discuss a few questions or comments that fans have expressed in the recent weeks. So I want to kind of run a couple of these past you guys. First one, what is your feeling on the 7 o'clock football starts compared to 7:30? Boy, we could go quite a long ways on this one. We'll start with Derek. What's your thoughts?
Hey, for me, I love it. you know, I mean, I get back, and of course, I've got deadline kind of looming. At 7:30, you get in, you know, a game that goes long, or a lot of scores, or an overtime game, and you come back into the office, and it's already, you know, 11:30, and it's like, well, I've really got to you know, hustle here. But at 7 o'clock, actually, the first 2 weeks of football, I covered Chillicothe, so I had to stay at that 7:30 time frame. Last Friday, I was with Southeastern at 7 o'clock when they started, and I tell you what, I didn't know what to do with all the time. I just came back and I'm like, well, it's 11:30 and I'm done. I don't know what to do. So yeah, I mean, I love the 7 o'clock start. I don't think it really matters to the kids, matters to the coaches the way the game's played. So I think the OHSAA made a good decision there.
Sure. Yeah, I certainly, from a media standpoint, get it, because obviously with the deadlines and you're trying to get that on there. I just like it, even as a fan, just kind of the opportunity to get started a little earlier. It leaves you time just to, you know, just as the night goes on, if you are at an overtime game or running some weather. The one interesting thing for discussion here, Bruce, is as I talk to people in other conferences, again, this is where the SVC benefits from their geography. Their concerns, I know the TVC falls into this. I've had a couple other conferences say the same thing, that their school day goes kind of long, and their football coaches like to be there a couple hours early. A lot of times it becomes a bus issue. Football teams, you can't get there on time, which I guess that shocked me a little bit. But if you start to do the math, I at least understand the issues there, because – you know, but I think, again, it goes back to the media. It's not just for us as the media in terms of the comfort of our night. It's for the fans' benefit, too, because if the coaches aren't getting back home in time, they're not getting an opportunity to really participate in the scoreboard show, or they're not getting a chance to really have a sit-down talk maybe with the newspaper or get their stats to someone, what I'm finding is their kids aren't getting honored until a day or two later. And Derek, I know you'll agree that, you know, I can go ahead and put, like the Zane Trace kids, for example, the other night had some really good stats. I wasn't able to get that until I got it from another resource the next day. Sure. So a lot of times it allows everybody to kind of be a little smoother in their routines when you get that half hour jump start. So yeah, I like the 7 o'clock start. I've always wondered why not. So I'm glad that our league at least is going with it.
Shane, do you ever hear some feedback from maybe parents though that can't get there by 7, or it really, really crimps their style, and the 7:30 makes it a little easier for them? I've heard that from our end.
Well, I haven't. Again, our maybe in the non-league a little bit, but I don't think you'll run into that in our league games. I think you'll get that a lot more at the younger levels, at the junior high, the freshman, the JV, as you get into the basketball season or whatever. But I think 7 o'clock on the Friday night, for the most part, when it comes to the SBC, I don't think that's going to be a huge problem.
Okay. All right. And then another fan commented to us talking about upsets during the call of the game the other night. What in your mind is an upset? And do we overuse that word sometimes in sports? Derek?
Well, if you're going with me, I mean, you know, I think obviously we kind of follow a sports culture where people love underdogs.
Right.
And what that means to me is that they make a lot, you know, if you watch college football and then somebody's not ranked and then the other team in the matchup is, obviously they're automatically an underdog. But then you also see in college football a lot where those underdogs win. So, I mean, I think it just kind of depends on what level you're at. In college football, I'd say a lot of times, you know, if a team that's not, you know, ranked 19 is playing a team that's ranked 16, to me, they're pretty even. I don't think that really matters. Right. Now, in high school football or high school volleyball, if you're you know, watching a game where a team's 7-2 and the other's 2-7, and that 2-7 team wins, well, to me, that's an obvious upset. The other night, I don't think, and Shane, you could probably talk more about this, but really, Unyoda and Adina, to me, it wasn't an upset. There was a lot of great players on the court on both sides, and we had talked about that. And I think it just depends on the situation around the team as well, because you have injuries, you have coaching situations, and West Falls football kind of comes to mind. And I'm sure those kids are having kind of maybe issues getting the system that Trent Olds has put in, but they played well in two of their three games. I guess an upset to me is just kind of really goes by your own definition.
What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, I do think we overuse it. I mean, when I say we, I'm talking fans and media. I think it's a thing of excitement. I think we're all a little guilty of it. I think it's a buildup. I agree with what Derek was saying the other night. I think what you think might be upset in the preseason, as the season goes on or week to week, different things happen. You might have a particular, you know, momentum swing where teams are playing well. You might have an injury. We certainly had seen that. Certainly the other night, the Unyoda Adina volleyball match was not an upset. I think like any word, though, you can use mild upset. You can have a huge upset.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when you have some predictions go wrong, I think we see that in college football a little bit here with the preseason rankings. A lot of what looks like an upset's not an upset. It's just the preseason rankings were poor.
Yeah.
We're probably, I'm probably guilty of that on the website. There's things I predict over the years that are spot on. Then there's things I predict where I'll be like, man, that didn't happen the way I thought it did. And I'll reevaluate and go. So I think upsets certainly and make things fun. I love what Derek said about the underdog. I think each sport's different. You know, the nature of baseball, a lot of times with the starting pitcher night to night can dictate an upset, or basketball, the flow. You know, but when you look at volleyball, best of five, the bigger sample size, usually the better team's going to win. So when you get two teams truly go like those two did the other night to a fifth set, 16-14, you're talking about two pretty evenly matched teams. So all of those factors go in. I do think it's different sport to sport, but pretty good question, though. It's something that definitely makes you stop and kind of look at the way you use the word when you analyze sports.
It sure does. All right, good stuff. Fans, stay with us. Obviously, Adina Unyoda took the volleyball headlines this week, but there was plenty more that took place around the league. Episode 163 of SVC Sports Talk rolls on now, and we mentioned volleyball, and Adina Unyoda was a great game, but there were some other ones out there in the league, and Southeastern at Huntington, how about that? That was a great match, Shane.
Well, it really was. I remember Derek saying that we just as easily could have been out at Huntington calling that one. He was right. The five set there, a lot of people had Huntington in that 3-4 matchup with Southeastern, Piketon in that mix as well. And so obviously it was a really, really important game for both teams. And And Huntington gets it in five. You know, I think Southeastern continues to show that the program has arrived. When you look at the Lauren Goble, the job she's doing with the at the setter position, with Ella Skeens leading a hitting attack that I think is, it's not nearly as deep as Uniota, but I think, Derek, it's starting to form some depth to it. Jess Boldy's been really good. Rachel Collins coming on. I really think, to me, the X factor for them is getting Sierra DeLong just to kind of get comfortable in the new program. She comes over from Edina. I know she battled some sickness early in the year. I really think she's the X factor that could really take them to another level. But when you talk about going to another level, boy, has Ricky McGill done that. I think she's played her whole career with such an older group of kids. Now she's kind of that older player, along with Alicia Long. They play with a lot of kids playing in their first year of varsity. And, you know, Ricky's really been impacting matches in a variety of ways. You know, one night I'll see where she has seven aces, and another night I'll see where she'll have, you know, 30 kills, or she'll dig up 30 balls or whatever. Maybe she's dishing out 20 plus assists. So, you know, certainly, Derek, she's the type of kid that, is taking a young team and helping them play at a high level. And then I know you're high on Piketon. So Piketon's certainly starting to play better. They've bounced back with a couple wins. They won the Pike County tournament second year in a row. Zane Trace still trying to fit into all this. So just your thoughts on the rest of the volleyball league when you look at the Southeastern Huntington match, as well as Piketon gaining some momentum.
It seems like every time I receive statistics from Tina McGill, Ricky's got just I mean, she's on a godly level in volleyball, if you would. I mean, 36, 32, 34. I mean, really, that's a regular night now for her, you know, or it has been, you know, very, very often this season. You know, I think Ricky also gets, you know, help from Riley Black and Alicia Long out there in Huntington as well, who you know, a lot of times when you mention Huntington, you know, people don't realize that you know, Riley and Alicia are also, you know, very good volleyball players. And you go into kind of the younger players, and you got Braden Collins and they call her Gus Hooks out there. So then, of course, Southeastern, as you said, I mean, Lauren Goble has really kind of, as a sophomore now, has really kind of come into her own as a setter with almost close to 300 assists already this year. And Danica Moore, a very good back row player there for the Panthers, and then you got Rachel Collins up front, and a freshman in Skylar Heiss, which we've talked about before. So you know, I really do. I think Southeastern and Huntington will both be in that league race at the top. And as you said, I mean, I really always have kind of rooted a little bit for Piketon, even though I'm supposed to say kind of unbiased. But you know, I don't know how you don't like kids like Jordan Morrison and Cammie Chandler and you know, Brianna Liddell and the Conley sisters. You know, I mean, how do you not kind of root for them, you know, just kind of the kids they are and the players they are on the court. But you know, both Morris and Chandler, I mean, they've been in that Red Streaks 1-2 punch this past year. And I'm really anxious to see Piketon kind of, you know, kind of notch a big win in the SVC. I know they'll play well out of conference, I'd like to see them, you know, compete with a Southeastern, with a Uniota, maybe go to five sets, maybe go to, I mean, obviously they got the Huntington beat Piketon, but, you know, we go to three or four or four or five with Adina. So, you know, I think, but when we talk about SVC volleyball, I think that we, a lot of times don't give a lot of credit to Paint Valley. And obviously that's because, you know, for a couple of years now, they've been at the bottom of the league but that doesn't mean they don't have good players as well. You know, we've talked about Leah McFadden and the Savannah Smith girl. I know we talked about her last week. I hope I'm saying this right. I know, by the way, Shane, you have been pronouncing Denzel Endicott's name correctly. Okay. But is it Correa Penrod? You might know that better than I do.
Correa
Penrod. Okay. So, you know, she contributes as well with Peyton Beecher and Kelsey Dunn up there up front. So, you know, I'd like to see we talked about underdogs, and I think when Piketon and Paint Valley and those teams, you know, and Zane Trace even as well, go up against an Edina, Uniota, Southeastern, Huntington this year, they're going to be labeled as underdogs. But as I said, you kind of always have to root a little bit for the underdog, and I'd like to see them, got, you know, those guys get some big wins.
Well, it is. It's always an amazing thing the way we label some of these teams in the league, because when they do get into the non the non-league action, it really starts to show up that, man, they're a little bit better than maybe we give them credit for when we base it just on an SVC caliber schedule. You know, the other thing I really like about stats is when I'm not at a particular match, I feel like I know these teams well enough to where I can tell certain things that are happening. And when I see the talents of a Cammy Chandler and a Jordan Morris really come on, that tells me that the Conleys and company are passing and setting the volleyball at a high level. They're starting to get into some good system and some good rhythm. And you're right. You know, they did take Huntington 4. Piketon has a – they're starting to play better. They have a huge stretch of games coming up here this week and next. Zane Trace is another team that – again, seems to be struggling with the top half of the league, but they're keeping their head above water in their overall record. And don't forget, last year they got a favorable tournament draw, got themselves into a district final, and ended up getting a district runner-up medal. So, you know, there's a lot of volleyball left to be played. You know, we look at these teams like Huntington. You mentioned so many of the young kids. I would even throw in Miranda McCloskey and some other kids. Ricky is going to really need some of these younger hitters to come on. You know, I know Hooks had 16 kills, I believe it was, the other night in that five-set match. It's really important that Huntington get a little bit more. You know, Ricky's going to get a lot more opportunities than some of the Uniota hitters because, obviously, Huntington doesn't have the depth of Uniota. So, you know, Ricky's going to get some back row attacks and some different things there as well. So, it is. It's a good league. You know, at first we were asking, is it down a little bit? You know, I don't know. The volleyball league's been so good for so long. I will say that I think the middle of the league seems to have a little bit more parity to it, and I really think it's going to make for some fun matches. I think the 4 and 5 set matches that we've watched this past week, we're going to see a little bit more of the same. So, you know, some big matchups, Bruce, coming up this week. It'll be interesting to see what we have to talk about this time next week. We should have a better feel for the way this league standing is going to look like at the halfway point.
I'm sure we'll monitor it closely, won't we? Hey, we're going to move into our post-game comments, and again, these are sponsored by C&K Athletics Screen Printing and Embroidery. You can find them on the web at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. They are your local source for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon, closed on Sunday, and you can also drive there, 116 East High Street, Circleville. Give them a call, 740-477-9828, and they are bringing us our post-game comments. And we're going to move right to Mr. Derek Webb, who is with the Chillicothe Gazette. And Derek, what can we expect in the Gazette this week?
Actually, guys, I've got Friday and Saturday off this week, so I'm not really sure what to do. I've got a wedding in Cleveland I need to go to. I hate going to Cleveland just because I'm a Bengals fan. So I'll have to, kind of endure that pain. But, as far as what we got, you know, going on throughout the week, Monday, as I mentioned, we've got a feature coming up on Sylvia Gray. I'm excited to talk to her, kind of see what she's about. On Tuesday, I'll be covering girls soccer, Uniota and Zane Trace. And then Zach will be covering Wilmington and Chillicothe boys soccer. Wednesday, we've got the SVC number 5, and then we also have a freshman phenom feature coming out, which does not include Sylvia Gray, since we're writing a feature about her on Friday. But we've talked about the freshmen around the league this year. We'll get to know a couple of those guys. And then, of course, the roundtable at Schlegel's on Wednesday with Uniota. Thursday, we've got volleyball Uniota Southeastern, which is a big matchup in the SVC. Prep football capsules, athlete of the week, and then Brock will be at girls soccer again with Uniota. Minford travels to get the Shermans. Friday, when I'm not there, I'll be following tweets from Brock and Zach. Brock will be at Paint Valley Huntington. Zach will be at Uniota Zane Trace football, which we haven't talked about that, but I think that'll be a very, very good matchup as well. Then Saturday, as usual, the 10 to comprehend, and then Brock will be covering the Aaron Reed Cross Country Invitational Southeastern.
So I give you all this good pub about your Twitter feed, and then you're going dark this weekend, huh?
I didn't say I'm going dark, all right? Okay. I'll be on there. I just not tweeting as much.
Yeah, but we'll be looking.
I'm going to give my thumbs a rest.
we'll be looking for pictures of you dancing at the reception afterwards, right?
I don't think you want that.
Okay. All right. Shane, beyond the normal coverage, what are you looking at this week?
Well, Derek, I'm going to go ahead and throw in another mention for Crown Hill Golf Club here, because they're going to be a big part of what's going on this week. Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. We still obviously have plenty of weather, some great fall weather coming as well. So make sure you get a hold of them and check out their great deals. But if I'm not mistaken, I was trying to look it up here. I believe the River's Edge match has been – where it was rained out is this Tuesday night. So I believe, and I need to verify that, but I believe it's Tuesday the 13th. And then isn't Crown Hill the very next night? So that would be the 14th. Again, I'll try to verify that and get it on the website. But, I kind of had down that it was an awfully big week for SVC Golf here, because I think Piketon's got a chance to get a stranglehold on the team competition. But then when you look at River's Edge, that's where we usually get some of our really, really good scoring. So it's an opportunity for some guys that are maybe in that 5 through 15 mix, Bruce, in the all-league standings individually, maybe to make a move and to lock their spot in a little bit better, if you will, and you're moving forward before we get to a couple of the really tough courses down the stretch. I also think it's a really important week for Southeastern volleyball, guys. I think when I look at the schedule there, Southeastern goes to Piketon Tuesday night, and Southeastern hosts the league-leading Lady Shermans Thursday night. So what a big stretch for them. I think they've made giant improvements as they're 2-2, 6-3 overall. That's a really important Piketon match on Tuesday, because, you know, Derek, a lot of times what happens is when these programs like Southeastern start to climb, we start to have a tendency to highlight an Adena match, or even this Uniota match Thursday is very, very important. But a lot of times it's the match at Piketon on a Tuesday night where they establish themselves in a match that, you know, it's two teams, kind of our two sleeper teams, remember, just trying to fight a little bit for that four hole and become a little bit top. So it is one thing to take Adena four, but I think it's equally important to be able to go on the road and win at Piketon. So Bruce, that's another thing. And then obviously Friday night's just crazy. I mean, if you don't have an SVC team that you necessarily root for anymore, let's say that you're graduated, or let's say your kids aren't in high school, you just have a fun slate of games here to take a look at. Or even if you are a fan of one school, I think you can appreciate how good all four matchups are going to be. So I tell you, I think we're in for a great week four. I think we're going to have two, maybe even three of these games get into the fourth quarter and give us some really exciting finishes that, again, that we always haven't had in SVC football. So should be a lot of fun. So guys, I tell you what, I enjoy it. We'll finish it up on that note. Look forward to some great feedback. I think we'll have some really good golf talk next week. Obviously, week four, football is going to bring us some great football response, I'm sure. And then obviously we'll be coming up on the halfway point of volleyball. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes in at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.